Hi everyone, welcome into Maisie Days. I'm Amanda Maisie.
Hi everyone, I'm Randy, and I hate Lubbock, Texas.
I need to mention, we are sponsored by Vision Homes, building you a house you're proud to call home.
There's the news voice.
There's the news voice.
I wish somebody would just hurry up and buy a house from Rocky. If they would just buy one, then we could probably raise the price of sponsorships.
I like your thinking. He did build our neighbor's home. I've known Rocky for a long, long time. He always likes to tell the story of how he would see me out there pitching to Whammer in the yard. Of course, that's when he was like 5 years old. I wouldn't dare pitch to him now because I would take a ball to the face.
And the good news about one of Rocky's homes, here's a shout out. The home that he built next to us is still standing.
That's how I judge a good home.
I know, right?
And it's windy up here on the hill.
It's windy up here for sure.
You said you hate Lubbock, Texas. Can't imagine why.
Yeah. If I got a sheet of paper out and wrote down all the places in the world I would like to live, and then I turned the paper upside down, Lubbock would be right on top.
That was a rough weekend.
You think?
I know. Yeah. I actually thought about you on Sunday because I took the kids down to Blackwater Falls. Had a little fun in Thomas, eating lunch, doing a little shopping, and this was your doubleheader day. And I thought, you know what? I can't wait until next year when you can do that kind of stuff with us instead of getting your ass kicked in Lubbock, Texas.
Well, you guys are out having fun. We got rained out on Saturday. So not only are you in a place you don't like, but you're stuck in the hotel all day long watching it rain.
The games on Sunday definitely had a weird vibe. A ball boy who came into play. There was a lot going on. And the second game, I thought you were going to get dumped. We talked about this on an earlier episode, how sometimes you get dumped on purpose. You were going pretty hard at the umpire, and I just thought, here he goes. But you didn't get dumped.
I didn't get dumped. I told the guy when he started getting mad back at me, I said, man, if you're going to make calls like that, you just need to stand here and wear it for a little while. So just do me the honor of letting me scream in your face for just a few minutes.
And he did.
He did.
Big weekend, Baylor. I have to give Ren Baker a shout out because apparently there was a black bear spotted in the Arboretum. And Ren tweeted at you and Coach Sabins that maybe Baylor sent a scout early on to see you guys.
I can take care of that. If you come to our house and look above the mantle, one of his distant relatives is stuffed above our fireplace. Let it be known in the bear world, don't mess with the Maisies. That one is courtesy of Sierra.
That's right.
There's a rug downstairs hanging on the wall, courtesy of Whammer. To all you bears out there, don't mess with the Maisies.
Should we start off with some more of your 14 rules to live by?
No, I got to tell you the story of what happened in Lubbock to make it even worse.
Okay, go ahead.
I did go do a little shopping at one of my favorite shopping places that you got mad at me when I brought it up last time. I went to a gun shop.
Yeah, we have enough.
No, we don't. Weston needs a gun. Hell, there's bears around here. How are we supposed to protect ourselves? So when I was in the hotel trying to find something to do, I Googled gun shop because I just wanted to go shopping. 7 gun shops within a mile of our hotel. Coming back, I pull up on a little what appeared to be a fender bender along the side of the road. I got out to see if everybody was okay, and there was a guy that was pretty rattled. He was limping around. I said what happened, and he said he got in a little accident, but I looked, and like the front half of his foot was literally almost taken off, just gone. I was like, dude, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, jump in the car. Let me take you to the hospital. He's like, no, I don't want to go to the hospital. I was like, dude, you're missing the front half of your foot. Let's go to the hospital. He said, I'm going to just stay here. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm just going to wait for the tow truck.
Ba-bum. Another Maisie joke. Another dad joke. If Sierra was here, she'd be rolling her eyes like, oh, God, Dad.
The only thing I can do after a bad weekend is break out a good joke.
That is true.
So, okay, that was a joke. The rest of the stories on this podcast will be true, I promise.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I know you.
Most of them.
Most of them. I always have to laugh because when your brother's in town, you have an older brother, Brian. When you guys get together, I don't know what's true and what's not true. I would say most of what you guys banter about and go back and forth is not true.
What I say is true and what he says isn't.
There you go. He's not here to defend himself.
Did you get the joke about the tow truck?
Yes, I got it. I got it the first time you told me many years ago.
Here we go again. Amanda making funnies, episode 10.
Would we like to update that last week we talked about my turkey friend who had his head blown off by the neighbor? There's a new guy back there, and he's not as receptive to me as my previous turkey friend. This morning, I went out there, and I've been looking for a turkey ever since my friend left us last week. Saw him this morning, was super excited, got my box call out, and at first he gobbled back to me and he sprouted, and then he stopped doing that because I think maybe he's on to me that I'm not a turkey.
The part of that story that worries me is that was kind of your turkey mate, that first one.
Yeah.
And when he lost his head, it took you like 2 days to find a new mate. How does that bode well for me moving forward?
Well, it bodes well for me moving forward.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to bode well for you, honey.
Don't bring a date to my funeral, please.
After.
Yeah, exactly. After. Just
I'll wait.
Pick him up on the way home.
After the funeral, he and I will go have coffee somewhere.
See, people think you're joking. And I know you're not. I know you're not.
Well, I'm not getting married again, buddy. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah.
This past Monday night at Mundy's, pretty fun, even though you're coming off getting swept at Texas Tech. But the thing I love about that show, and the thing I love about the fans that come to Mundy's, is they ask these brutally honest questions to you, and you answer them, and I think they really appreciate that.
Yeah, if they're going to ask brutally honest questions, I'm going to give them brutally honest answers, and that's why I think Mondays work so well. What happens at Mondays and what's said at Mondays stays at Mondays. I would serve multiple suspensions probably from things I say in Mondays. That's why people enjoy it, because it's like reality TV without the cameras.
Very good point. Going back to the turkey story, so Shane Ennis, who was a former player of yours here at WVU, his wife Morgan texted me this week. And she found a guy somewhere in Virginia who had shot a white turkey and posted it on Facebook. And she said that she loves the podcast and she was listening. And when she saw this post on Facebook, she just had to send it. And she was like, should have killed the white turkey. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to last week's episode.
That's going to put me right back into a state of depression. Thank you, Morgan.
Big shout out to Ryan Schatzberger, a friend of ours who is the head coach at Incarnate Word in Texas. He was so excited to share the summer baseball proposal that he still has on his computer that you wrote years ago. Really fun that our friends listen and are enjoying this.
Yeah, when we went down and can't remember where we played, but Incarnate Word was also playing in the same area. So we went and had dinner with Shots and his wife and child. And we had Sierra and Wham with us. Sierra actually thought she met Shots for the first time at that dinner, but Shots actually changed Sierra's diaper.
Shots met our kids before our families did, because he was at TCU with us. Such a great guy.
Yeah, so Sierra, if you're listening, Ryan Schatzberger changed your diaper.
Oh, she's going to be mortified. She's 15 now. Let's get on to these rules to live by. We've covered 1 through 4 and number 14.
Did we talk about the pit game?
Yeah, that was last week, babe.
It was?
Mm-hmm. Losing it. That was last week. Penn State didn't happen this week, so there's nothing to talk about there.
We got air quotes rained out.
All right, 14 rules.
How many have we done?
We've done 1 through 4 and number 14. You started with 14, so we're kind of working our way back. So you're on number 5.
Oh, here's a good one. Don't ever criticize someone's decision unless you had all the information they had when they made the decision. Yeah, I think in the caption underneath it, it says, it is really easy to criticize someone's decision from the outside, but unless you have all of the info available and it is accurate, then there's no way you can put yourself in the person's position who made the decision. That's why 3 things I never talk about: politics, religion, and finances. That should be rule number 15. Don't talk about that stuff unless somebody asks. And the reason I don't talk about politics is because I don't feel like I should have the right to criticize the decisions of politicians, because there is no way I have the information they have when they made the decision. Coaching is a great example. People criticize coaches all the time about play calls and substitutions and this and that. If you don't go to every practice and know how every kid feels and go to every coach's meeting and staff meeting about what you're trying to accomplish, how could anyone possibly criticize a coach for putting a particular player in the game or calling a certain play or putting on a certain defense. There's no way you have the same information the coach had. So you got no right to criticize.
I sit there a lot and listen to people criticize, but I also know that's part of the business. People want to critique you or criticize coaches. I get that. That's part of the business.
So next time you're at a game and you hear somebody yelling at me for a decision I made, just hand them the 14 rules to live by.
I would love to.
Yeah, don't say anything. Just say, here, read this.
Read this.
Next one?
Next one.
If you really want to be good at something, the only thing you have to do is take pride in it. That's it. If you can take pride in something, your actions will follow. It doesn't matter what you want to be good at. If you want to be a great baseball player, take pride in it. If you want to be great at checkers, take pride in it. Because if you take pride in it, you'll put in the time and effort and practice in order to be good at it. But if you don't take pride in anything, there's no way you're going to put the work required in to be good at it. And actually, that's the only thing about umpires that really, really bother me. If we ever get an umpire that I feel like doesn't take pride in his job, that bothers me. If I go to McDonald's and order my regular order at McDonald's, 10-piece nuggets.
Quarter pounder with cheese.
I'm not done. Barbecue sauce, sweet and sour sauce, and a quarter pounder with cheese, and a half-cut iced tea. If the person on the other side of the counter takes pride in their job, I really appreciate that. So it doesn't matter what you do. Just take pride in it. If you take pride in it, you'll be good at it.
Are you taking pride in what you're eating, though? I'm a little concerned. I feel like our nutritionist might not approve.
I take pride in those 10-piece McNuggets. I really do. I love those things. You know what? As we sit here and I'm drinking my Monster, what are you laughing about?
Oh my gosh, your diet.
Well, I go back and forth. We need to call Monster and Red Bull for a sponsorship. I keep them in business. I drink 3 energy drinks a day.
And you can actually fall asleep after you drink them. You're the only person I know who drinks an energy drink and it doesn't give you any energy. I think it's all in your head.
I think it makes my dreams a little more active if I go to sleep with caffeine in my system.
Yeah, I don't think that's
good
for you.
Could that be possible?
I don't know, but that's probably...
Is there any psychologists listening? Dream analysts?
Probably not. I'm going to say a big fat no on that one.
But anyhow, yeah. Rule number 7, never panic. Every problem has a solution. Some of them are harder to find than others, but every problem has a solution. You just have to try and find it. But if you panic when a problem arises, it makes the solution way harder to find. I've always taught our kids, just never panic. No matter what happens, don't panic. If you panic, you make bad decisions, you make emotional decisions. It never helps to panic.
I think it's really cool because we'll be down in a game and I'll hear the guys coming off the field and I actually hear them in the dugout say, don't panic. They're listening. That's pretty cool.
Sometimes when you hear them say things that I say, they're actually mocking me.
It sounded genuine.
Some of the stuff I say, I hear them say all the time. When I leave and I'm retired next year, I'll bet they're still going to say the same stuff and mock me from a distance.
That's all right. It's your legacy, bud.
I mocked all my coaches.
Yep.
It's cool. Mockery is a form of flattery.
That's true. But when I mock you, you don't think it's flattering.
You mock me constantly.
Constantly. That's what a marriage is all about.
Is there a difference between mocking and nagging?
Nope. Same thing.
Same exact thing.
Same exact thing.
It's amazing how you go back and forth.
Hey, you're the one that asked me to marry you, so this is all your fault.
Yeah, I think you mocked me into it.
Truth.
That is the truth. Can I tell a true story?
Sure.
Because you started talking about bears, I have a bear story. You know this story.
Is this real or a joke?
No, this is actually real.
Okay.
So when we lived in East Carolina, actually, a lot of people don't know this, there are more bears in eastern North Carolina than anywhere in the country per capita. A lot of bears in eastern North Carolina. I had a guy, he knew I liked to bear hunt. I had never killed a bear, and he took me bear hunting. As is the case, he just drove me to a farm. I met the farmer that day.
Here we go.
Here we go again. So he puts me in a tree stand with a rifle. He drops me off. I was on the edge of a soybean field that had been dried out. I was sitting in a tree stand at the edge of the woods, and there was a swamp just full of water in the woods. So I'm sitting there just having a big time. As a side note, before I get to the bear story, when I was sitting in that tree stand, for the first time in my life, I saw Air Force One fly over top.
Oh, that's cool.
It was the plane, and surrounded by 5 or 6 helicopters, or can't exactly remember, but I didn't carry my binoculars with me at the time. So my dumbass, you know what I did? To get a closer look.
Look through your scope.
Look through my scope on my rifle.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, this is a pretty bad idea. But anyhow, so I hunt and I'm just enjoying myself sitting in a tree. And when the farmer dropped me off, he says to me, "I'll be back to pick you up as close to dark as I can. I got to go pick some beans or whatever." I'm like, yeah, whatever. So it gets dark. No farmer. I'm sitting there and it's dark and I'm just chilling in the tree stand waiting on the farmer. And it's 10 minutes dark, 15 minutes dark. I'm like, where's this dude at?
You weren't panicking, were you?
I was not panicking. So as I'm sitting there waiting for the farmer, I hear something walking through the swamp my direction. There was about a half moon that night. I could kind of see silhouettes and the splashings getting closer and closer and closer. I look and a mama bear and 3 cubs walk out of the swamp right under my tree. And I could see their silhouettes and I was enjoying them. The cubs were just kind of playing back and forth. And I'm just sitting there literally looking straight down at them. And I look over in the bean field. Dried beans are like light colored tan. And I look, and here comes a big black thing. Looked like a darn Volkswagen bug coming through the field. It was a big male bear. When he saw the female and the cubs, he charged them because the males will kill the cubs. So when he charged, all the cubs ran into the trees with the mama. These bears got up a tree so fast, faster than any squirrel you could ever see. And they're in the trees literally 15 feet from me. And now the big bear, the big male, is under my tree. And the cubs are just raising hell, snapping their jaws, growling. And mama gets upset that her cubs are upset. So she comes down the tree and literally squares off and gets in a huge fight with the male right under me. Growling, swinging, and now I am panicked. They got in a fight and she actually won the fight and ran the big one off.
That's a mama bear for you.
And the cubs just came sauntering back down their tree and rejoined their mama and back off into the swamp they went. So one of those, what you would consider a near-death experience, I literally was near death.
But that's a little dramatic.
One of us was near death. Either me or one of the bears was near death. One of those deals, though, that I was scared to death, but after you go through it and survive it, one of the coolest experiences I ever had.
We had an experience like not near death by any means, but in New Zealand. We'll save that for another podcast.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was fun.
I actually have video evidence of you being a huge sissy.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. Anyway, so in all of these stories that you talk about, hunting, where you meet these new people, can I just say, as your wife, I'm glad you're not doing that with women, like just meeting random women and going out with them like you do with these people that hunt. Thank you for that.
How do you know I'm not doing that?
You're right. I don't know. I just follow your Life 360.
God. Whoever invented that. Thanks a lot, buddy. But anyhow, all these stories are when I was younger. I haven't gotten to do much of that in the last 10 years. You know, when the kids were born, I don't even really care to hunt much anymore. I just help them and set them up and so they can do their thing. And I enjoy them enjoying it more than I enjoy it. But now when all my buddies that I used to hunt with hear that I'm retiring, I have like 7 trips lined up in my first year of retirement. Hey, Mays, let's go elk hunting. Hey, Mays, let's go turkey hunting. How am I going to pick and choose which hunts I'm going to go on?
Well, now we know who your better friends are going to be because that's who you're going to go out with. This weekend, we talked about the bears coming into town, but a big weekend with our alumni. It's alumni weekend. That's always fun and exciting.
Always fun and exciting to see those guys, but I always feel bad that I don't have enough time to spend with them. They come in, they'll come in and watch the Friday night game, do their thing after the game Friday, but it's always really late. And then Saturday, they do the tailgating thing, but they do it during our batting practice. So I'm on the field and don't get to spend much time with them. After the game on Saturday is really the only time I can spend with them. And there's like 200 of them. So I feel bad I don't get to spend more time with them. But thank all you guys for coming. It's cool.
It is cool because when we first got here, let's be honest, there were a lot of alumni that didn't want to have anything to do with WVU baseball. And it was your mission to help bring them back because you can't be where you are today without the players of the past.
Well, you know, I'm a former baseball player too. I played at Clemson, and it just makes you feel good if the current program reaches out to the former players and lets them know how much they appreciate, how much we appreciate what they did when they were here. Those players at West Virginia that played here, those poor guys had to dress out of the back of their car. They didn't have a locker room. The hotels they stayed in and the meals they had weren't like they are today. So they went through a lot and sacrificed a lot and put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this program to lay the foundation of where we are now. So it's cool to see them come back and walk through our locker room and our team room and our lounge, and they all look around and, are you shitting me? And then I hear all the stories, which are fun to listen to. Yeah, I think they're proud of where the program is now, and I'm proud that they're proud. Yeah, it's going great.
Do you remember the first year we were here, you would take them to Outback or nice restaurants, and you would have thought those guys that were carryovers before we got here, it was like the best thing ever for them. They were so appreciative of getting a steak for dinner or nice meals. It was really endearing to see.
Yeah, and we've had them up to the house. Some of our alumni parties have been at the house. I think they appreciate that I appreciate them, and I really do. Yeah, shout out to you guys. Thanks for coming back. And I tell our players now that our current players are going to be alums, and I'm the type of guy that I want to have a relationship with them as long as I live. So when they become alums, I want to hang out with them too. And the cool part about alums, you can have a beer with an alum. You can't have a beer with a current player.
Well, you can, but...
Yeah, you can, but that would be a really bad idea. But that's one of the first things they say when they play for me. Coach, when I graduate, can we have a beer? Of course we can.
That is pretty fun when they come back to the house. They get pure enjoyment out of that. All right, time for some question and answers. We have some really good questions. I'm not going to tell you who asked this question.
Can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess after I read it.
Will I know?
Yes. I want to know how in the world you can add a call after the fact that wasn't in question on the interference call when it wasn't called on the field, when they were apparently only reviewing if he was safe at second or not.
Are you talking about Hussey's double play?
Correct. Do you know who asked that?
Hussey's dad?
Correct. Steve Hussey. Question number one.
Yeah, the rule is if Grant would have been safe at second, then there would not have been interference. He didn't slide. He stood up, and the second baseman beat him to the bag, and there was a collision, and Grant is bigger than that kid, so Grant knocked him back toward shortstop, and the kid made a bad throw the first. So because Grant was out, it became interference, which means the guy who hit the ball's out. It's an automatic double play. So when it happened, and Grant didn't slide, and the shortstop threw the ball away, and Grant ran to third, and it was first and third, and they called for a review. I told Joey, who was standing beside me, I was like, this is not going to work out well for the Mountaineers. There's no way this is going to work out, and it didn't.
Jack asked this, would like to hear the explanation the umpire gave Coach Mazie after the Texas Tech ball boy picked up Kyle West's double.
Oh, these questions all revolve around umpires, but they're great. And this is the stuff we talk about at Mondays, too. For those of you who don't know what happened, we had a guy on first, and Kyle West hit a double down the right field line. Texas Tech has a ball boy that sits in foul territory on the playing field, but in foul territory. So he just ran out there, and I don't know if he knew the ball was foul or not, but he just made a pretty nice play. The umpire called fan interference right away. The guy who was on first would have easily scored from first, but the umpires got together. They made Kyle West go to second. They gave him a double, but they made Chumley, who had just scored, go back to third. The rule is, if there's interference like that, the umpires use their judgment as to where the runners would have gotten to had there not been interference. But it actually says in the videos that they send us, the umpires are supposed to err on the side of conservatism instead of aggression. We knew the guy was going to score from first. Everybody knew the guy was going to score from first, but it doesn't matter what we think. It just matters what the umpire thought. And he put our runner back on third, took a run off the board.
Which ended up being huge later in the game.
It was huge. And we didn't, because we didn't score that run. So that was a...
So what was the umpire's explanation is what Jack would like to know.
He just said he can't award somebody three bases. The inning before that, Texas Tech hit a ball in a corner. It was in a left field corner. And their guy scored from first. The argument got a little heated. He knew I was going to be upset about it. But that was the second inning of the first game of the doubleheader. I was pissed off the whole day. It just ruined my whole day.
I can't imagine why at this point you have non-players on the field. I know it's foul territory, but a player can catch a ball in foul territory and it's an out. So it's still a playing field. It's still part of the field.
I told him, if you're going to reward them for putting somebody on the field, I'm going to put somebody on the field. I'll put one of our bullpen catchers to sit down the left field line. If they hit a ball in the corner, I'll just have him field it, throw it back in.
And didn't somebody tell you that this kid had done it?
It's the third time he's done it.
Thanks, buddy.
And after that, they left him there. And that's when I got pissed off. I said, get the kid the hell off the field. He obviously doesn't know what he's doing. Get him off the field.
I actually thought maybe you were playing that game in protest. Can you explain that to the fans?
The only thing you can protest is a rules violation. If the umpires don't get a rule right, then you can protest. You can't protest a judgment call. So that was the umpire's judgment as to whether we would have scored from first base. You can't protest that. But here's the dumbest thing in all of baseball. You want to know what the dumbest thing in baseball is?
I do.
When a coach protests the game, the umpires have to let the official scorer know that the game is under protest. And the official scorer is always in the press box behind home plate. Do you know how they tell the official scorer that the game's under protest? They take their finger, draw the letter P in midair, like you're playing Pictionary.
That happened last year, didn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know if the fans really know what that means when you play under protest and what the outcome could be.
When you play under protest, if you think the umpire got a rule wrong, the game's under protest. If the game gets concluded and after the game, somebody, a committee, realizes the umpire misjudged the rule, then you have to go back and replay the game from that point, regardless of what, I shouldn't say regardless of what happened. If you win the game, no sense going back and replaying it. Protests have to be decided upon at some point. They usually try and decide upon it at the time, because nobody wants to finish the last seven innings of a game, realize that the protest is upheld, and go back and play the seven innings over again. So when a game's under protest, they try and figure out who is right and who is wrong on the spot. But yeah, if you're ever at a game and you see the umpire draw the letter P, the game's under protest. So dumb.
Now we
and
know.
I tell the umpires before I protest, okay, I'm getting ready to protest, and you're getting ready to embarrass yourself by drawing the letter P with your finger.
Can I just say, if anybody hears any rumbling, that's your stomach. After, I guess, you talked about the nuggets and the quarter pounder of cheese. Like, I can hear your stomach. We'll see if it picks up on the mic. Just so people know it's their stomach and not anything
else.
That
reminds me, yesterday morning when I woke up, I smelled something in the house burning. When I woke up, I smelled it burning. And my first thought was, Amanda's making eggs.
That is a fair assumption.
Tell them what it actually was.
I like to sage the house and put new energy in the house. I've been saging Wham's bat to help him hit a little better. And I just like to sage the house. I just like to have good energy and clear out some of the muck. It's a thing.
I actually thought you were cooking breakfast. The two thoughts that went through my head was, our house is on fire or Amanda's making breakfast.
Yeah, the cooking, yes. Well, what's funny is you actually were asleep when I was saging over the bed. That is true.
That's how you're going to find a new mate.
Well, yeah. I need to sage you and put some new
skills.
You're
going to end up on Forensic Files one day?
Yeah.
Actually, okay. That worked because Wham had two line drives at the right fielder. One for a two RBI single. So
down at
the sage worked.
See, I told you. Stick with me, kid. Josh would like to know, designated hitter, yay or nay?
I like it. For certain levels, having a pitcher hit in a lineup in the major leagues when they don't practice hitting, I don't like that. I'm I'm a fan of the DH, I guess.
All right. Colasantes would like to know when you're going to give them an autographed jersey, because Weston gave them an autographed jersey from Mohawks, the high school hockey team. So Wham's up there, but you are not.
I'm a little upset with Cindy Colasante because she didn't ask a question on the last episode. She asked a question on the first eight. She missed number nine, and now we're back. So thank you for that, Cindy. Yes, I will get you a jersey.
She brought you your favorite pizza Monday night.
She so did.
So good.
She's amazing. Their pizzas are amazing.
Our neighbors brought us food as well after the Texas Tech weekend. Our neighbors, Nate and Travis, brought us the most delicious broccoli cheddar soup and some garlic bread. Our other neighbors baked us some cookies. So I guess when you lose...
Yeah, it's like...
Here, you comfort food.
That's amazing. When we swept Central Florida, nobody brought us shit.
Correct.
Everybody knew we were happy.
Ryan says this, looking at taking a road trip to the Cape this summer with my five-year-old, was wondering if any hints to where WVU players may be playing or any recommendations on fields to catch a game. That's going to be a sweet trip, Ryan.
Believe this or not, I've only ever been to the Cape once. About 15 years ago, I went to see a kid pitch, but I've never been to the Cape other than that. We will have probably six or seven guys in the Cape this summer, but rosters aren't set. We try and spread them out. The Cape is beautiful, but the problem with the Cape is it's a two-lane road the whole way. A lot of traffic on the Cape, but a great atmosphere, great place to go watch games. I would recommend hitting multiple fields up there because all the towns are historic and neat, and big leaguers have played there. Yeah, great place.
The real Fess Robinette, hope I said that correctly, said, if Maisie only had one band or one artist to listen to for 1 month, who would it be?
That would be Sugarland. We talked about that.
Yeah.
She could sing the phone book and I would enjoy it.
Phone book? That is old school. I don't even think they make those anymore.
Oh, I have some.
Yeah, they're from like 1975. All right, Bob O'Connor.
Is that a joke?
It's the truth. All right. Bob O'Connor. After all the times that Maisie Ball has bunted with runners on second and third and scored both runs on the sacrifice, why do you think opposing coaches will not know that this is still possible?
I think they do know it's possible. A lot of stars have to line up on that play to run that play. The guy at the plate has to be able to bunt. The runner at second base has to be pretty fast to score from second. The pitcher has to be a strike thrower. And you have to pick a count in which you hope to get a fastball. So a lot of things have to line up. We haven't run that play this year. Other teams have, and every time another team runs it, not against us, but just in general, it happened again yesterday. Somebody told me, hey, so-and-so ran the double squeeze in their game yesterday. So other people are picking up on. And Baylor picked up on one of our plays that we invented, and they ran it on Tuesday of this week. I saw it on TV. I got you, Baylor Bears. I know your scouts here walk in the woods behind the stadium, but I do my scouting too.
Joe would like to know, has Coach Maisie reached out to Alec Manoa to help with some of his struggles?
I talked to AK and his mama. We've talked. AK has a lot of pride, and AK needs to know that he's got people in his corner. AK knows I'm in his corner and will do anything for him. But I don't impose myself on any of the guys that have played here and have gone on into pro ball and the major leagues. They know that if they need me, I'm here. But I don't impose on those guys. I have AK's back. If he needs me, I'm here for him.
Speaking of AK, he and Darius Hill faced off last night.
Yeah, Darius texted me during practice and said, I saw you guys got, air quote, rained out at Penn State last night. Just so you know, I'm facing AK tonight at 6 p.m. Pretty cool that two former Mountaineers are banging heads. They were on the same team, the 2019 team that hosted the regional. Pretty cool that they played against each other.
We'll have to talk about Darius in another podcast because he's a really unique kid, really bright kid. We love Darius a lot. This is a tough question. This is a no-win question right here. Jim Farrell, he asks a question every week. Thank you, Jim. Really appreciate that. Better high school baseball player, Randy or Whammer?
That is a no-win question.
Correct.
Exactly the same. A tie. We're very different. I was a pitcher, center fielder. Wham is a switch-hitting shortstop, so that's like comparing, I shouldn't say apples and oranges, it's like comparing watermelons and cherries.
That's a good analogy. All right, our last question of this podcast.
Oh, boy. Are you saving the best for last?
I am. Holly Weatherholt.
Ooh.
Yeah, JJ's mama said, Mike wants to know, what is the first thing on the honey-do list when Randy retires? So JJ's dad wants to know, what is number one on that list?
I think the first thing I'm going to do is, I've got a project in mind to build an outdoor sauna and cold plunge tub under our deck in the back of the house. The more I read about the benefits of sauna and cold plunge, I think that's something that we could get into in my older age. After you sage me, throw me in the cold plunge tub.
So you're going to build something that has health benefits, but what about these nuggets and quarter pounders you're eating?
Well, you just got to be strategic. You go sauna first, McNuggets, cold plunge. If you don't do it in that order, you don't get the right benefits.
So you sweat out all the chicken McNugget crap?
Here's a thing I was going to do when I was at TCU. All these diet fads. I had my trainer, Danny Wheat, in on this with me. When you sprain your ankle and it swells up, the way they treat it is with heat and ice and heat and ice. You alternate heat and ice. It keeps the swelling down if you do it that way. So I thought, if you're overweight, logically, your stomach is swollen. To keep that swelling down in your stomach, you eat something hot, then you eat something cold, then hot, and then cold. Go get a dozen wings, get some ice cream, take a bite of pizza, drink a cold beer. So yeah, as long as you go hot, cold, you're shrinking your stomach.
Okay. You are not going to go into the dietitian profession.
If I got a doctor back me on that, you know how many copies of that book I could sell? We could be rich.
No, I don't think so. That's another edition of Maisie Days.
Yeah, that was a long one.
That was a long one.
I hope people are making cross-country treks. That's how you listen to these when you're driving distance.
You're going to have to go far for this episode. We'll be back next week, so thank you for listening to Maisie Days, sponsored by Vision Homes.
Somebody find Rocky and please buy a house.